This is Jeff Cross, and welcome to the July 17th, 2023 edition of Views on the News from the Couch, a baby boomer's attempt to pass along his views on the news. Quick hitters. Hollywood actors and writers are on strike. Sure, for more base pay, but also for more back-end money with the new outlets and protections against using writers instead of artificial intelligence. Since I don't know the numbers, I won't weigh in on who has the fairer position. I will caution all involved that a prolonged strike could move content creation to other countries with lower production costs. An amateur detective feels she has uncovered the true identity of Jack the Ripper. Allegedly, Jack's true name is Chaim Hyams. Details in the linked article. Governor Ron DeSantis is not having the presidential campaign success that he hoped. Due to cash reasons, he is scaling back staff. Inflation seems to be easing, at least in the United States. Russia says drone attacks damaged a bridge connecting Crimea to Russia. That pissed Russia off. Russia says it is unrelated, but they suspended the grain deal that allows Ukraine and Russia to ship grain through the Black Sea. Bad news for the poor, who will be affected most by higher food prices, and for those most affected by inflation. I do wonder if Putin is withdrawing from the grain deal to increase negotiating leverage for a peace deal. A Georgia black Democratic representative switched to the Republican Party, after which she received racist rants and accusations of white supremacy from Democrats. Evidently, the writers of the racist rants did not feel the black representative had the right to think freely. I do. I linked to an article saying that the real estate market in San Francisco is so bad that some hotels are giving their properties to banks and walking away from the loans. I linked to an article about a black equity director who was called a white supremacist for, I believe, saying that all should be treated equally. Rumor has it that Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, may be cooperating with the feds that could result in an indictment. I don't know. Moving on, there seems to be some movement on the No Labels group, a group that popped up in 2009 due in their mind to the increasing polarity of the major parties. In 2024, they hope to have a No Labels candidate on all 50 state ballots. FYI, a No Labels forum today, July 17th, has Democratic Senator Joe Manchin as a speaker. Will he be their candidate? Historically, third parties never win, I guess until they do. Could this be that time? I doubt it. There is too much inertia with the existing system. The bank shot whether No Labels could do well might be if No Labels offering a moderate alternative makes the Republican and Democratic nominees even more partisan, which might make the No Labels candidate more attractive. But I doubt it. Two cautions, though. First, if all three parties get some electoral votes, then it's possible to likely that the election will not determine the president, as none will have a majority of the electoral votes. Instead, the president will be decided in the House of Representatives, with each state getting one vote. California would get one vote, just like South Dakota, Montana, etc. The president would be a Republican, even if Democrats have more members in the House, because Republicans will likely control more congressional delegations. FYI, the vice president would be selected in the Senate, with each senator getting a vote. So we might have a president and a Democrat of different parties. Fun times. But what if a No Labels candidate won the presidency? The idea of an independent governor or president sounds good to many, but by definition, they don't have a party to support them. They are independent. Hey, you could argue their party is No Labels, but I doubt many in the No Labels party will be in the House or Senate. My guess is we will have even more gridlock. Jonathan Turley has a linked article titled Pronoun Lockdown. Almost half of millennials want jail time for misgendering. He mentions a survey in Newsweek by Redfield and Wilton Strategies and says, quote, 40% of millennials between ages 25 and 34 favor criminal charges for people who use the wrong pronouns for others or so-called misgendering, end quote. Let that roll around in your head. 44% of millennials favor criminal charges for using the wrong pronouns. Only 31% disagreed. You can't quite say this idea is crazy because per Turley, quote, misgendering is now a crime in countries like Great Britain. Misgendering has been referred to as an act of violence at some U.S. universities, end quote. And you know what? I might be able to get behind criminalizing misgendering. I'm not a big fan of turning everyday interactions into crimes, but let's do it. Folks would be required to use the pronouns consistent with birth. Anything else would be misgendering. Clearly, to some that probably seems crazy, but it shows how far we have come in a few short years to think anything different should be the norm. For the record, no, I don't think we should make any kind of misgendering illegal. I do think we should stop being crazy. Thanks for listening to Views on the News from the Couch. If you like this podcast, please share with your friends. If you did not like it, please share with the rest of the folks you know.